This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today is Friday, September 10, 2021, and we continue with our Friday night etiquettes class, where we are continuing on learning from the chapter of the etiquettes of relieving ourselves. And we learned last week that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum pretty much everything, everything that we need to know as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, over time, there are things that come up that may not have been around at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is where we look through the Sunnah and through the, of course, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to discuss and decide on, you know, whether something is permitted, not permitted, etc. And this could be from so many, you know, examples of so many different things, you know, from multiple different angles to using technology and the permissibility of wearing a watch, for example. Is it considered jewelry? Is it not considered jewelry? You know, stuff like that. So alhamdulillah, our deen has taught us so many things. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through teaching us lots and lots of different aspects of life that allows us to be able to apply Islam until the end of time. And that's one of the miracles, of course, of the Quran. So today we continue on with An-Nahi an istiqbal al-qibla wa-istidbari. The impermissibility of relieving oneself while facing in the direction of the qibla, or facing our backs towards the direction of the qibla. What is the qibla? A lot of people might know what the qibla is, but the qibla is the direction of the Kaaba. It is the direction that we pray in as Muslims. So there may be someone who's new to Islam or someone who doesn't know, you know, some of these words within the Arabic language, or someone who's just interested in learning about Islam, and they come on and you know, attend the classes. And this happens fairly frequently. There's a lot of people who are learning about Islam or see, you know, a notice that comes up, hey, there's this class going on, and they attend. So the warning within Islam with regards to relieving ourselves while facing the direction of the Qibla, or facing our backs towards the direction of the Qibla. We see that there are many authentic hadith with regards to this topic. We'll start off with a hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu an, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you goes to relieve yourself, right, goes to, and specifically the word is al-gha'it, which is number two, right? Number one, we know what number one is, urinate, number two. So when one of you goes to do number two, basically, فَلَا يَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ, do not face the Qibla, nor face your back towards the Qibla. Rather, face towards the east or towards the west. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, شَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا, towards the east or towards the west. Why the east and the west? Well, if you're in Medina, for example, which direction is the Qibla? Who knows? Let's see who knows. I will look at the chat section here and see if anyone knows. What direction is the Kaaba from the city of Madinatul Munawwara? Let's see how many of you have paid attention to your travels to Medina, or simply knowing a little bit of geography and the map of the two harams. In fact, the three, right? The three holy lands and sanctuaries. So which direction is the Qibla from the city of Madinatul Munawwara? Who knows? You could guess, right? If you guess north, south, east, or west, you basically have a 25% chance of getting it right. So don't be shy. Just type something in. I want some interaction. Yalla, bismillah. There's quite a few of you watching from multiple different live streams. So just type it in the comments or chat section. Which direction is the Qibla from the city of Madinatul Munawwara? You should all know this. Okay, KQQKKQ. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You put a question mark. You wrote south and then question mark. So you're uncertain, which is fine. Let's see if anyone else gets it. Right? Anyone else? Nobody? MashaAllah. You're absolutely right. So it is south. From the city of Medina to Munawwara, we actually pray south towards the Kaaba. Okay? So now this makes sense when we think of it. If the Prophet ﷺ is telling us when we relieve ourselves, or telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when you relieve yourselves, face the east or the west. Why? Because if you're facing the south, then you are directly facing the Qibla, right? The direction of the Qibla. If you are in Medina, and I'm just using Medina as an example, right? If you're in Medina and you're facing the north, then your back is towards the direction of the Qibla. Okay? So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, face the east or the west, which means that your side would be facing the Qibla, either one side, the right side, or the left side, right? So you are not directly facing the direction of the Qibla when relieving yourself, either urinating or defecating. Okay? Now, that's with regards to facing the Qibla, either the front of us facing the Qibla or the back of us facing the Qibla while relieving ourselves. But the scholars actually differ over whether this is something that we should continue to do, or was it something specific to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or is it something that is related to the person who is actually able to see the Kaaba in front of them. So they're in Mecca and they can see the Kaaba. So should they face the Kaaba or face away from the Kaaba when relieving themselves, right? Is it permissible to do that or not? And the discussion amongst the scholars is actually because of many hadith, and I won't go through all of them, but we'll summarize insha'Allah ta'ala. So the scholars differ with regards to this topic here because, like I mentioned, there are so many different narrations that actually highlight a few important things. First off, we see the hadith of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, where he mentions that, so the hadith of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, I'm not going to go through all the hadith, it's going to just take too long. But to summarize, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, the hadith that he mentions or narrates shows us that there is a nahi, a prohibition from facing the Qibla, whether the front of us or having our backs face the Qibla, mutlaqan, right? Sawa'an fi sahra aw al bunyan. So his hadith shows us in the wording that it is not permissible to face the Qibla or to face our backs towards the Qibla when we are relieving ourselves, whether we are outside or inside of a building or a structure. Then you come across another hadith, the hadith that is narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And in that hadith, we see that what we learn from that hadith is that it is permissible to face our backs towards the Qibla, but not to face our front, right? To be frontwardly facing the Qibla inside of a structure or something that acts as a structure. Like, for example, having his animal, right? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he put his animal that he was riding, I believe it was a camel, in front of him, and that acted as a barrier between him and the Qibla, okay? And then he relieved himself. So that hadith serves to teach us that it's not permissible to face the Qibla without having something there physically, a barrier. If there's a barrier there, then it is permissible. Then we see the hadith of Salman radiallahu anhu. And that hadith, we learn that it is not permissible, right? It is not permissible عن استقبال القبلة مطلقا في البنيان وغيره. To face the Qibla when relieving ourselves completely and entirely, whether inside of a building or outside of a building, right? Outside in nature. For example, you go camping, right? You're and we gave examples of this last week, right? What would be the times that a person is relieving themselves outside of their home, somewhere else, right? It's an emergency on the side of the road. You're stuck in traffic on the highway in the 401, for example. You know, a child needs to go, or you're camping. You know, multiple examples that, you know, people came up with. It could even be a patient who's in the hospital in bed and unable to get out of the bed to go relieve themselves, and they have, you know, a tray, or they have a urinal, plastic urinal that we use over here. You know, which direction does that person face in? So don't think that, oh, you know, this is something we don't need to know and we don't need to learn. So this example, now we've seen three. Now the fourth one that we'll look at is a hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, where within it we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was relieving himself and was facing the direction of the Qibla, right? And that was something that was seen and noticed by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, right? And this hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. And he mentions that this was in the last year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, showing us that this hadith is indicating that prior to the last year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was probably and most likely not permissible to face the Qibla while relieving ourselves, or facing our back towards the Qibla when relieving oneself. However, that was something that was abrogated or changed, and that in the last year it was, you know, it was noticed, or the Sahaba companions noticed, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done that, and there was nothing wrong with it. Now, how do we reconcile? How do we figure out what is right? Okay, how do we figure out what we are supposed to do if we have so many different narrations and so many different reports from Sahaba radiallahu anhum that show, you know, if one is outside, then they should not do it. But if they're inside, or there's a barrier between them, then it's possible. Another hadith that completely outright says, no, it's not permissible. Another that mentions that you can face a Qibla if you have a barrier, but, you know, if you're facing the other way, then it's okay. And then the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, where it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was facing the Qibla, and there was nothing wrong with that, and it was in the last year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, to sum everything up, the scholars mention, and this is, you know, the Lajna Da'ima scholars that, you know, many of them found within Mecca, Medina, Riyadh, within the Mamlaka, Saudi Arabia, and many other scholars around the world as well, have concluded that it is not permissible to face the Qibla, or to have our backs facing the Qibla, when a person is relieving themselves outside in the open. And that specifically is more so if you are able to see the Kaaba. Okay? And it happens at times when people go for Hajj, right? They go for Hajj, they're in an area close to Mecca. They also say that it is permissible to face the Qibla if a person is within a building, a structure, or there is some sort of barrier between them and the Qibla. And that is what many of the scholars say. Because we have so many different hadith that show us multiple different things. And so what they do is they try to put them all together to see if we can do justice to everything. And so the default is that we try to refrain from it as much as we possibly can. Now, some people in Canada will say, but within our homes, we don't choose where the toilet is and where it's facing. you come to a house that you're going to rent or you're going to buy, and well, the toilets are there. You can't exactly say, but I want my toilet to be on this wall, I don't want it to be over there. You don't really have that luxury unless you're building the house, right, from scratch, and it's going to be built for you, then you actually have a say. So here we see that, and even in our masjid, subhanAllah, when the washrooms were being renovated, the washrooms that the brothers use, the toilets are with the left side facing the Qibla. So if you're using the toilet while seated on it, then the Qibla is to your left. However, in the other washrooms, because of the design of the building, where the sisters' bathrooms are, the women's bathrooms are, the toilets are either facing in the direction of the Qibla, or they would have their backs towards the Qibla, right? The toilets would be positioned where the backs would be facing the Qibla. So the toilets were angled, as you know, when they renovated the bathrooms, the toilets were angled diagonally so that those toilets are not facing, nor are the backs facing the direction of the Qibla. Okay. And that's something that you can really only do if you are renovating or reconstructing or building a house from scratch, right? So that's a little bit difficult to have done. And this is why we see the beauty of our deen, where it's not preferred to be facing or to have our backs facing the Qibla. But if we are within a enclosed area, then it isn't really such a big deal anymore. Right? Because you're not facing the Qibla, you're not seeing the Qibla. And I was reflecting upon this and thinking about it as well. There is this aura around the Kaaba. When you're in Mecca and you see the Kaaba, your attention, your eyes, your focus are drawn into the Kaaba. Naturally, people are making tawaf and so on and so forth. And it's just our heart's desire to be there. So we're always, you know, if you're ever within sight of the Kaaba, you're usually looking at it. If you're on the roof, you're looking at it. You're in the basement, you could see it through the stairs, you know, up the stairway, you try to look at it. So subhanAllah, I was thinking, like, it must have been very difficult for many of the Sahaba when they were living in Mecca to go outside of the city, further away outside of Mecca, and relieve themselves out in the open, because that's how it used to be, right? They would walk far away and relieve themselves. It must have been very difficult for them to go far away and still not look at the Kaaba while relieving themselves. And so when a person turns to their side, you're looking and you can maybe see it in your peripheral vision, but alhamdulillah, at least, you know, your focus, your main focus is not there, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing that we're going to look at is, what do we say and what do we do when we enter the bathroom and when we exit the bathroom? Now, very simply, I think most of us already know all of this. First of all, the bathroom is not a clean place, obviously, but when we say it isn't clean as Muslims, we also mean that it is a place that the shayateen, the jinn, would be more encouraged to frequent, because it is not a place of cleanliness. It's a place that we go to relieve ourselves. Now, what is a bathroom? I mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again today. The place that we go to relieve ourselves is usually called a bathroom or a washroom. But in reality, the place where the toilet is, that is the dirty area. That's the area that you sit or squat in order to relieve yourself. That place is a place where there's filth, where there's dirt, and a place that the shayateen enjoy. Okay? And so when we enter into that specific spot or area, not talking about the shower, when taking a ghusl, we actually begin with the right side. So taking a ghusl is something that's good and clean and pure. When you're standing at the sink to make wudu, you make wudu, you say bismillah, you start with your right hand, you start with your right arm, you start with your right foot. So we're doing something that's good and clean and pure. when you're using the bathroom, or when, sorry, when you're using the toilet, when you go to use the toilet, we go there to relieve ourselves and we get up and we leave. And so the etiquette of entering the bathroom, or I should say the toilet area, and it's very, tricky to allow us to understand this and think about it in our minds, because, we really have to think of it as, okay, the toilet area is the stall, the toilet stall area, like, in a public bathroom, the stall. And then the sinks are in a separate area. The sinks are in a pure, clean place because you're going to make wudu there. But the toilet itself is in a place of filth and dirt. And so it's encouraged and preferred that when we enter the area of the toilet, that we enter with our left foot and we say Bismillah. Hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu an, where he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the barrier or screen, right? The barrier between the jinn and the private parts of the children of Adam, human beings, when they enter the washroom or the bathroom, the toilet area, is by saying Bismillah. So when a person says Bismillah, there's actually a barrier between them, their parts of their body that they're going to expose when going to relieve themselves. Saying Bismillah puts up a barrier between us and the shayateen, the jinn, who want to do evil and are encouraged to do evil, but we protect ourselves by saying Bismillah. Now a person says, well, wait a second, how do I say Bismillah going into the bathroom if I'm not allowed to say Bismillah when I go into the bathroom? So I said, think of the toilet area in your mind as the area that is unclean, dirty, right? That's the toilet area. That's the place you go to relieve yourself, not the entire washroom, okay? Just the area where the toilet is. And so before you step to use the toilet, okay, so for example, the toilet is here, okay? Before you step into that area, you would say Bismillah and step in with your left foot first and then relieve yourself, right? Now, also from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to say, A'udhu billahi min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Also, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث of أنس رضي الله عنه إذا دخل الخلاء, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was about to enter into the toilet area, he would say صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Seeking help and protection, putting our, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we seek refuge in you from the filth, dirt, khubth, from what is evil, and from the spirits that have evil and do evil. Okay. So you enter with your left foot and you say Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Now, when we exit or we leave the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom, when you're done relieving yourself and you get up from relieving yourself, you step forward with your right foot. Okay, step forward with your right foot. Why? Because now you are leaving the place of filth and entering into a clean area. And this is something that we do whenever we enter the masjid. We enter with the right foot. We enter our homes, for example, with the right foot. We do so many things with the right foot when it is good. Like you wash your right foot first when you're making wudu and you're doing a ghusl, stuff like that. So the right is when we are clean or cleaning and doing good, okay? So you step forward after relieving yourself with your right foot and you say ghufranak. Ghufranak, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, from the evils of whatever, whether what we've done, any kind of evil, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج من الغائط, when the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would, after completing relieving himself, and غائط specifically number two, right? قال غفرانك. He said, غفرانك. Very easy, very simple to do, alhamdulillah. So these are things that we all were taught when we were children. We should try to do them as much as we can. And we usually go to the bathroom and relieve ourselves multiple times in the day. So we need to make sure that we protect ourselves from the evils that exist in this world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe and protected. Ameen. The next and last thing that we'll look at, insha'Allah ta'ala, is... the importance of covering ourselves عند قضاء الحاجة, when we go to relieve ourselves. So making sure that we are covered from being seen by others. Now I'll go through this very briefly, inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll give examples of how this could apply to us in today's day and age. We look at the hadith of Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, where he says, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a journey. Okay, I was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فقال يا مغيرة. So he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Mughira, take the water skin, right? Take the jug, right? That has water in it. Take the jug, the water skin. So I took it and went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, went with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he took it from him. And he walked and he went off in the distance until he was out of the sight of Mughira radiallahu anhu. Then he relieved himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam, faqada hajatahu, and he was wearing a Syrian gown. The clothing he was wearing was a gown from Syria. If you read through the hadith, the narration mentions that the sleeves were tight, right? And he was going to, couldn't get his hand out, so he just stuck his hand through and allowed Mughira to pour the water over his hand, right? And, you know, washed his hands, and then he made wudu. What do we learn from this hadith? We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to relieve himself, he walked far away. He went in the distance, thus indicating to us the importance of covering ourselves, making sure that we are not seen. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing that gown, which is a very long thobe, a very long gown that covered his entire body. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to be seen by looking in the direction of where he was, nor was he able to be seen by having his body exposed, right? Because he was covered up from the gown that he was wearing. And so, alhamdulillah, you know, we learn from that the importance of making sure that we cover ourselves when we use the bathroom, when we relieve ourselves. And so the important thing that I want to point out here is that we make sure that no one else is able to see us when we are relieving ourselves. Now, alhamdulillah, you know, the beautiful thing about the homes that many of us live in, especially here in North America, is that our bathrooms or the room where the toilet is always behind, you know, walls and a door, right? It's not out in the open. I've been to places. I've traveled to villages. You know, subhanAllah, I remember when I went to Nigeria, we went to very small towns and very like poor areas. And I remember having to use the bathroom. And I knew that if I had told anyone that I needed to use the bathroom, they would have put me in the car and driven me to the closest, you know, major city, and taking me to a nice, you know, washroom, just because I'm a guest in their country. And we were at a very small masjid in a small, you know, village. And many, many of the people gathered to listen to, you know, a few words of advice that we shared with them. And so I waited, and I'm sharing this with you, right? I waited until my turn to speak was over. And then the other two, you know, imams or brothers that were with me, you know, they were going to speak. And when I was done, I got up very quietly, didn't tell anyone anything, just got up and I, you know, walked aside, left the masjid. And I started walking around looking to see where the bathroom is. I saw this really old, broken, you know, stone building. And I thought to myself, this must be where the bathrooms are. And I just like walked around the wall. It was just one wall, like a brick wall, walked around the wall. And then I could see, you know, this small little barrier, okay, a few feet high. I'm just going like this high because of the camera, but it was about 3-4 feet high. And you basically just squat and you're there. And people who are walking by, they could see you. They could see your head. They could see the top part of your body, but they can't see the bottom part of your body. And you just relieve yourself. And so someone who would be standing there could technically watch you taking the jug, pouring the water, cleaning yourself and stuff like that. So I went in and I've traveled, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has blessed me with the ability to have traveled many countries. And I've had to use very, very dirty, very disgusting, you know, bathrooms and outhouses and stuff like that. So for me, using a bathroom is like, hey, I go, I use it and I leave, right? It's not really a big deal. I'm positive that 99% of you would probably not be able to use those bathrooms though. So I went in and one of the local brothers, he came out immediately. He's like, Sheikh, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom. He's like, no, come, I'll take you. I'm like, take me where? He's like, we'll go in the car, I'll take you. It's just about 3 miles away, we'll go. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's fine, I'll use this bathroom. He's like, you need to go in a hurry. I'm like, no, but I need to, I'll go now and make wudu and then we'll pray and then we'll leave after that. He's like, no, come. And I was like, no, it's okay, it's fine. I could use this, it's okay. So I'm sharing this with you because there are many people who live a day-to-day life where using a bathroom like we use is a dream. I give you another example. I went to a water village, right? This is basically where refugees are living in a country, won't mention where. I actually have a video on YouTube about it. The people there, they live over very shallow water. Okay, it's very, very shallow water. They have these like tin and very small, you know, thin pieces of wood. They make their homes and build on these pillars that they, alhamdulillah, manage to like drive down deep into the ground. And the water underneath them, when the tide rises, it comes in a little bit. When it goes out, then it just settles and all the sludge and all the filth and everything is there. And I went through this village. It's basically like the slums. And we went there to do khair, right? I traveled to a neighboring city. And I always on my trips like to go and do some sort of sadaqah, find, you know, the poor people and do some khair there. Alhamdulillah, because our dollars in Canada are worth a lot in many countries, so it can go a long way. And as we were walking through, you're walking on these planks of wood because it's built over the water. So you're walking on these planks of wood. And the planks of wood are meant to carry these people who are very light because they don't eat much food. And the people of their country are a lot shorter than me. So they're lighter than me. So they just walk on the planks of wood, not really fearing that a plank of wood would break and they fall into the water. I, on the other hand, was very concerned because the planks of wood were very flimsy and very, very old and seemed like they would crack if I didn't step in the right places. So alhamdulillah, finally managed to like get my way into a certain area where it was, you know, proper, stable. I think they had like more solid wood and maybe in some places had spread out, you know, like an aluminum sheet and then put maybe some cement over it or something of that sort. So as we're walking around now, I'm thinking to myself, where are the bathrooms? So I asked the local, you know, it was a local sister who was with us. I asked her, I said, where are the bathrooms? Like, where do these people go to use the bathroom? And she said, Sheikh, there's no running water. They have no running water and they have no electricity. And I was like, so there's no water, no electricity at all? No. So how did they use the bathroom? What do they do? So She says, just look over there. And I look and I see this kid with a bowl, right? Like a bowl that you would probably put flour and mix, you know, basically making some bread or you know, baking something with, like a bigger bowl, not a cereal bowl or a soup bowl, but a bigger bowl, right? And it's on the ground and he's just squatting over it and relieving himself. And I'm like, okay, give him some privacy. And then when he's done, I look over to see what he's going to do with it. And he takes it and he just dumps it over into the water. Now, I'm telling you this story, but you're not really putting yourself in my shoes, because had you been putting yourself in my shoes, you would think to yourself, wait a second, this place must stink really, really badly. And it does. I remember when we got there and we got out of the car, it was like the gag effect. Everyone was like, oh, it smelled so bad. But if you stay there for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, eventually you don't really pay attention to the smell so much. It's there, but it's just, it becomes normal. So these people, subhanAllah, all of them, adult, men, woman, child, elderly, they relieve themselves in a bowl and they just dump it over. And when the tide comes in, then it, you know, takes some of the dirt away, the wastage. And when it settles, whatever is there stays there. And the sun shines on it and it bakes. And that's why it smells really bad. So you and I, alhamdulillah, we are blessed with the ability to go into a washroom in our home or a bathroom and to close the door and to step, you know, forward with our left foot after saying, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wa al-khaba'ith, and then to step away and so on and so forth. We are so blessed with the ability to do that and to have these luxuries in life. Whereas many other people, subhanAllah, they go through serious hardship, but it's day-to-day, regular, you know, it's normal for them. And this is where, alhamdulillah, we don't really need to worry too much about covering ourselves, because you go into the bathroom, you close the door, no one can see you. However, my brothers and sisters, there's this thing. You know, usually you would think only the poor people of the world would have a hard time covering up their awrah and protecting their awrah, their body, from being exposed. But the reality is, it's like a very cool thing to be wealthy and to, first of all, use the bathroom outdoors. I've been to really nice resorts as well, where you open the door to the bathroom and you open it and you're outside. You're literally outside facing a mountain. There's no one in front of you. And you just sit there and birds chirping and mashallah, tabarakallah, this is nice. You're like, man, this is like real nature, right? And no one can see you. But I've also been to places and hotels in particular where the bathroom is separated by just a glass. And it's like normal for a spouse to see another spouse, or a boyfriend and girlfriend to see the other person in the room using the toilet. Whether it's a wealth thing or not, it is a thing that happens these days. You might think to yourself, man, that's like unique. But I have been to countries where even using the public bathroom in the airport, there are no doors on the stalls. There are no doors on the stalls. You just walk in. Or there's a urinal. Men have this issue, right? Where there's a urinal. Next week, we're going to talk about standing up and urinating and, you know, whether it's permissible or not permissible, but that's next week. But I've been to a country, I remember going into the airport and the entire wall is just stainless steel. And the drain is on the bottom. And every guy just comes in and stands here, and another guy comes up and stands there, and everyone is just basically peeing on the wall. It's a stainless steel wall, it goes down into the drain. There's no dividers, there's no like molded thing that comes out, nothing. It's just there. Also, and this is not only other countries, here in North America, many of us might say to ourselves, oh, we don't have these issues, right? And some of you asking, what country is that? Right, I'm not going to mention, because here in North America, you go into men's bathrooms and there are urinals on the walls, but there's no divider between you sometimes. I remember even our elementary school, I was like, how do these boys use a bathroom, man? I used to be the only guy going into the stall, closing the door, and, you know, sitting down to urinate, where all the other kids were like, it was normal. And I was like, man, this is weird. How do these guys do it? They just stand there and like open their pants and everyone's like, hey, how's it going? Everyone's talking. And like, it's so weird. And so as Muslims, we might think, oh, but that's somewhere else. We never face it. No, over here in North America, we also see it happening. Right. And even in hotels, many hotels right here in the cities that we live in, there are hotels that have glass windows, right, as a door to the bathroom. So anyone who's in the hotel room, I've shared hotel rooms with other mashayikh, with other scholars, where when one of us in the room had to use the bathroom, the other person would have to leave so that they could use the bathroom. And then when you're done, you go and you open the door to the hallway and you let them back in the room, because the hotel rooms that we were booked had glass doors for the bathroom and the shower. And you couldn't, subhanAllah, I remember even Ilyas Mayo, I remember him and I, we were roommates once in another country. We flew to another country, and the room that we were given, it didn't have a door. Like, the bathroom was just around the other side of the wall. So we're like, yo, we can't share this room, man. This is not going to work. So subhanAllah, don't think that it is something that we will never experience. And that's the beauty of Islam, is that it teaches us these principles, that you need to have that haya, that modesty, you need to protect yourself, cover your body, say bismillah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sitr, the barrier between us and the jinn, the shayateen, is to say bismillah, and it protects our private areas from being seen and witnessed by the evil spirits, okay, that are out there, the jinn and the shayateen. That's all that we'll take for today, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khayran, barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. I'm just going to write the date. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask, inshallah. I don't see any questions other than which country it was. And I'm not going to tell you which country it was, where that stainless steel wall was. Actually, a few countries. When I think of it, there were quite a few places I've been to. Ameen wa yakum. Hope everyone benefits from the class and knowledge. And I know it sounds weird that we talk about these topics sometimes, but the reality of it is that we are human beings and we do experience these things in life, and we have to know how to deal with them and what to do in these situations, and the importance of covering ourselves. I know many sisters deal with things that brothers don't deal with. Many brothers deal with things that sisters don't deal with, right? And it's just a reality of the life we live in. One of the things, and we'll get into that in a couple of weeks, inshallah, is the cleanliness, keeping ourselves clean in the bathroom. And men have this issue. One of the problems that I always had with taking our daughters, like when they were younger, and, you know, we'd be in public somewhere, rest area, you know, and they're like a few years old, have to take them into the bathroom. And bringing them into the men's bathroom is always something that I dreaded doing. Alhamdulillah, now they're older, they can go on their own. But, you know, if I was with them alone and taking them into the men's bathroom, such a dreadful thing, because for those who don't know, men's bathrooms, I mean, I know all the brothers know, but because living in a non-Muslim society, what men do when they go into the bathroom is they stand up and they urinate. You stand up and urinate, especially in a toilet bowl that's filled with water, is that all of that splashes everywhere. It splashes all over the toilet seat. And taking little children, and please do be careful with your children, all of you, whether, you know, male or female, brothers or sisters, be careful with your children. Don't just send them into public bathrooms without going in and checking it yourself. Go in and see what the condition of the toilet is. If it's dirty, clean it before your children go and sit on it. I've seen so many times children go in, standing in line, waiting to use a bathroom. Children go in, come out, go in, come out, go in, come out. And then when I go in, I'm like, how are all these children sitting on this? It's so filthy, so disgusting, so dirty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from, you know, the filth and dirt of this world. Ameen. All right. No questions. Alhamdulillah. I'll see all of you soon. Adhan is in 13 minutes. Actually, Adhan is in 3 minutes. Salah is in 13 minutes. So I'll see you all at the masjid. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.